This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and boy do we have a special guest today, a legend, a total legend in the acting industry. His name is Theodore Bickel, and his new book is called Theo, An Autobiography with Reflections Upon My 90th Year. Hello.
Hi.
Are you really 90 years old?
Absolutely, yes. I don't quite believe it, but it's true.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, you're such a legend in the acting field. I mean, I don't know anybody that works harder than you do or has worked harder than you do over the years.
Well, you know, I not only did I work hard, but I even enjoyed what I was doing. It's a rare privilege. Most people work because they have to feed a family, because they make a living. But very few people actually enjoy doing it.
Just sitting here reading this book this morning and reading all the different stories, the fascinating stories that you have, especially one that sticks out is the one with Carol Lawrence from Murder, She Wrote. I read that and I think, oh my God, that's terrible. You know, and there's so much like that. Do you still remember that day?
Oh, I do. It was shocking.
He fell out of a
moving car.
Yeah.
An ambulance.
All the things that are never planned, and then they happen, it's such a shock to, I mean, it just throws your whole day off.
Yeah.
What was Angela Lansbury like? I'm curious. I've always had a fascination with her.
She was such a lady, such a fine colleague, always a colleague. She always insisted that the actors be treated well.
Good for her. I mean, I've always loved her. How could you not love her? The career that she's had. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking through your career here. Looking at the things that you've done. It's just amazing. I mean, is there anybody you haven't met?
Gandhi.
Gandhi. Is he the only one? I mean, you it's just amazing. And you've done TV as well as Broadway. I mean, Broadway is the hardest thing an actor can do.
Well, I that's what I am. I'm an actor, I'm a performer, a singer, a musician. I'm also a lecturer, and from time to time, a writer.
Right. I should mention the book is out from the University of Wisconsin, and you have just done a new afterword, I think, for the book, right? A new chapter?
New chapter, because they wanted me to look at my life from the vantage point of a 90-year-old.
So how do you feel as a 90-year-old? Tell me how you feel today.
Hey, I'm talking to you. Not bad.
You're articulate.
Somebody asked me, now that you're 90, what do you have to look forward to? Mm-hmm. And I said, 91.
There you go. You're almost as old as Betty White, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever met Betty White?
Yes, I have.
Yes. So you've met so many different people. I mean, do certain people leave an impression on you more than so than others?
Everybody, in one way or another, does.
Mm-hmm.
You learn from every source that there is a positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of personalities out there in Hollywood. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And with different people. I mean, you talk about Robert Mitchum in the book. You talk about Peter Lorre. And there's so many different actors that you've worked with. Are there any that you really love working with more than others?
Oh, I was in awe of Humphrey Bogart. I thought what he did was extraordinary. You know, we're sitting in the makeup room, And he was kind of going through the lines of the scene that we were going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mumbling them, kind of monotone. Half an hour later, on the set, there's a full-blown performance. And I never knew where or how it came together. It was really extraordinary. I loved watching that.
Did you ever hang out with him off-screen? I mean, did you ever...
Oh, yes, we played a lot of chess, because there's a lot of waiting time in a movie, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, you hear about all these, you know, you're sitting in your trailer with nothing to do for a little bit before they call you for the next scene or whatever scene you have to do next, you know.
In the book there are pictures, and in one of them, I play the guitar for Paul Gavin Hepburn and John Huston.
Amazing. I mean, that you were in The African Queen is my mom's favorite movie. She always talked about that movie, how much she loved that movie. And it, to this day, it's still, people think it's a classic. I mean, it will always remain a classic. That must be a great feeling to know you were involved with something like that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I love this picture of your grandmother, mother, and you. That's a great picture. These pictures are amazing. They're in black and white in the copy that I have, and it's just it's just amazing. There you go. The same period off stage.
Some of them only exist in black and white.
When did you first fall in love with the theater? I mean, what year did you finally decide? I mean, did you first decide you wanted to do theater work?
I was 19.
19. Well, what about it that fascinated you?
You know, I tried my hand at agriculture, and I really had no inclination and no talent for it. I did like working in a chicken coop, and I said to myself, what am I doing? Is this what I want to spend my life doing? And then they sent me to a seminar to learn how to do patterns and performances. And we're being taught by professionals, by actors, by makeup people, by playwrights. And I said to myself, all of a sudden I was breathing, and that breathing freely. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
It, what a feeling to know that you're doing exactly what you want to do. I mean, how many people get to do that? I mean, how many people are stuck in jobs today they just hate, and they do only because they need to make the money? Like you said, they have to make money. I mean, but to do what you really love to do, and if you ask people, you know, what do you really want to do? A lot of people don't even know what they want to do. They don't even know where they're.
Others follow their star and have an ambition ever since they were little children, and others fall into it, some even at a fairly ripe age.
Mm-hmm.
I started quite early.
19 is early. That is early for, I mean, many 19-year-olds make it on Broadway today, you know?
Yeah, and then that's over 70 years ago.
I mean, to see a live performance on stage is an amazing experience. I mean, it's just that you're there in front of the actors, and if the actors mess up, you see it. You see it right in front of you.
Not only that, but it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if it's funny, they're laughing right there and then.
Mm-hmm.
If it's sad, you feel that intake of breath. If you do a film, the hardest thing is to do comedy on film.
Mm.
Because you're working for a laugh that may or may not come 8 months later.
And the comedy is such a specialized thing. I mean, it's either funny or it's not funny. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah. And then you, with supreme confidence, you assume that there will be a laugh because that tells you what kind of timing to use.
Right, exactly. I mean, look at Robin Williams, who sadly is no longer with us, and you just... He was such a crazy guy. I mean, the things he said, but a lot of people loved him. I mean, a lot of, and he had a good...
He was a genius.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to come up with that stuff right off the top of your head, I mean, it's amazing. And then to be able to do dramatic roles like he was able to do on TV and in the movies Good Will Hunting will always stay with me. I'll never forget that movie just because of his performance. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Now, do you think you're better at Broadway than TV and movies, or do you think you're equal in all of them?
Well, some people can acquit themselves in more than one medium. I'm lucky I could and I did. Mm-hmm. Others cannot make the switch. Some stage actors can't really do film because what you do in film is minimal. You raise an eyebrow and it registers on film. On the stage, it doesn't go, raising an eyebrow doesn't go beyond the first row.
Hmm.
Raising an arm does.
Right.
In contrast, raising an arm on film, whoever does that.
Now, you did over, I think, 2,000 performances as Fiddler on the Roof, as Tevye?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever get tired of playing the character?
No.
Never?
Because I was playing my own grandfather.
Ah. Over and over again. That must have been a good feeling.
Yeah.
How did you make each performance special? I mean, how was it difficult to go out there? It seems like it was easy for you.
That is something that... where the professionalism comes in.
Mm-hmm.
An amateur can be very good, but to maintain and to be able to do performance every time as if it were the first time you ever did it, that's what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the audience's fault.
Right.
That you have said the words before, that you've sung the song before, and yet, you have to assume that it is new to them, and if it is new to them, it's got to be new to you.
Exactly. And that's difficult. I mean, that's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, you see these actors on TV, and they're complaining about not making enough money, or they're complaining about this and that. But, I mean, to get on stage and to really give a performance, live performance, I mean, with
What you can't do is give a carbon copy of your own performance.
Right.
Of yesterday. If you do, they'll feel it.
And if you're in a show and there's one actor that doesn't fit in the role, it could ruin the whole show, too.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's like anything you do, any movie, any TV.
That's why casting is so important.
I mean, and did you always work with good professional people?
Yes. Almost always.
I mean, especially with Broadway. I mean, who does Broadway unless, you know, you really know what you're doing and you've done it before? I mean... I can't even imagine doing a Broadway show and not having done it before. I mean, the first time has got to be really hard.
It takes a lot out of you, but it's very rewarding.
Is it as thrilling afterwards as it is before the performance begins, or where does the most thrill come in?
No, it's while you're doing it.
While you're doing it?
It's afterwards too. It's tough to unwind because there's a lot of adrenaline.
Right. You've had such a good time doing it that I would think afterwards it's like kind of a... It's like after a party, you know, you got to go back to your life again. You know, it's like partying's fun, but it has to end sometime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's been the... Has there been any really tough times in your life?
Yeah, there are ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What would you say was the toughest for you?
I'm writing in the book. There are some downs as well as the ups.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt when I was writing my autobiography that I cannot do what people, actors like to do, is put the best foot forward, show the best side that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You have to be honest with yourself and with your reader.
Right.
And say, when was it bad? And what
Right. And you also have to be honest. I mean, you can't, being dishonest, you know, the reader could spot that right away. So you have to be totally honest. There you are as Julius Caesar in Westinghouse Summer Theater. Do you have vivid memories of all these performances?
All the individual performances, not necessarily. What stands out, perhaps, are the times when things go wrong. You remember there was some technical thing go wrong when you work in a tent and there's such a storm that the audience can't hear you because the microphones are useless because they amplify the storm rather than your voice.
Ah. I'm looking at this one with you and Julie Harris in The Lark. Julie Harris just seemed like such a monster actress.
Oh, yeah.
I always wondered why she did Knots Landing when she was so good on Broadway. I mean, you always think why would they do TV? You know, not that TV doesn't have its merits, but I mean, Broadway is just where you learn so much. I mean, I just
she was really the epitome of a stage actress. She did film, but rarely. She did well, but that was never where she wanted to be.
She just seemed like she was fit for that kind of stuff. I mean, just watching her was such a pleasure. I mean, the facial expressions, she had everything down just perfect. I mean, it was just, I mean, there are certain actors who just absolutely take over the role and become the role like you did in Fiddler on the Roof. I mean, 2,000 performances, God, that's just such an amazing amount.
And some actors are like that. Julie Harris could walk in the street or sit on a bus. And she did, sometimes with me. And she was a little ordinary, almost mousy-looking woman. On the stage, she blossomed into something that is so extraordinary.
Do you think
once the performance was over, back again to your old self.
Do you think people are actors are just born that way, with the ability to act? Or do you think they, I mean, in your case, do you think you were born with the ability to act?
I tend to think yes. Some acquire it, but some are born with it.
I mean, I think of some of the actors today, and I mean, I think of Dustin Hoffman. He's so wonderful in everything he does. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's done any. I think he's done. He's done some Broadway, I think. But
yes, I've seen him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such an amazing man. He just brings these characters to life. I mean, I think of Rain Man. I think of a lot of other movies, Kramer versus Kramer, where every emotion just comes right off of him.
I saw him do that on a film.
Yeah. I mean, professional all the way.
Unusual role for him.
Right. Amazing. Just an amazing actor. But there aren't a lot of Dustin Hoffmans out there today. It's really sad. I mean, there's a lot of actors, but how many can really act? How many are given the chance for it and given a great role, you know?
Well, today it's different than it used to be. Stanley Kramer asked me to play a Southern sheriff in The Defiant Ones.
Right.
And I said to him, I'm very flattered, but why are you offering me this role? I'm not a Southerner. I wasn't even born here. And he said, a good actor is a good actor is a good actor.
And he obviously
never forgot me, and I've sometimes quoted it to students. Today, they usually cast somebody who is what they wanted him to be on the stage or in on the screen.
Right.
They want a Southerner, they take a Southerner. And they forget that actors change faces, change walks, change accents. And the good actors do it very well indeed.
Do you still keep in touch with any of your actor or actress friends today?
I do. I just had dinner with Ed Asner the other night.
Oh, how wonderful.
I talked to Eleanor from time to time. They're good friends.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, to be able to talk to people that famous. I mean, you're used to it, but I mean, to the normal guy like me, to be able to talk to Alan Alda would be a thrill of a lifetime. I mean, God, I mean, you think of the performances he did in MASH are just extraordinary. The comedic timing that he had in that show was amazing, especially in
the... By the way, I just made a film called Theodore Bertel in the Shoes of Shlomo Aleichem. And Alan Alda is the narrator in it.
Oh, wonderful. Wow, how extraordinary. That's right. So you're still acting today?
Yeah.
What do you have on the horizon that you're going to be doing?
Well, now that the film is open at various festivals, I pick and choose which ones I want to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to travel all that much.
Yeah.
Travel used to be a greater pleasure than it is nowadays.
Well, travel today, oh my God.
Yeah,
everywhere you go, it's like...
But it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm engaged in at the moment. But I also have some concerts coming up.
Right. Do you get any... Is there anything in your life that's more thrilling for you than acting?
I'm hard-pressed to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
What would be a close second, do you think?
Oh, singing.
Singing?
Yes.
You love to sing?
Yes.
That's amazing. That's great. I mean, to be able to do that, what you love, the two best things that you love, to be able to do those and get paid for them, too.
To me, the singing is an acting exercise.
Mm.
Every song is a mini comedy or a mini drama. It has a story to tell. So it's the actor, the acting informs the singing.
I'm so in, yeah, exactly. I mean, and the best singers are the ones that express themselves in the song. I mean, you actually feel that emotion. It's not just singing the song. It's expressing the emotion. I mean, that to me, I mean, I have songs that make me cry when I hear them. You know, I can't help it. It makes me feel some kind of emotion. That's why we attach ourselves to music, because music makes us feel things.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It also works the other way, by the way. My sense of timing on stage, I learned from being a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You've done a lot of television work. I mean, you worked with Charlie. You were on Charlie's Angels, and oh my God.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Fun. It was fun.
I mean, you.
All in the Family was no fun.
No fun?
Most.
Oh, it was fun. Okay. Yeah, I can't. I mean, talk about an acting experience. I mean, Carol O'Connor just owned that role. I mean, who could have played it any better than he did? Nobody could have done that any better than he did. I mean, it's an amazing. I mean, you hated that man so much, so many times, you know. I just remember thinking that when I was watching All in the Family, how much I hated his character. I mean, but at the same time, you could see underneath it all, he still could love, and he just didn't show it very much, you know? But to be able to show those layers of a character is an amazing thing to watch. You know? You were on there...
All in all, it's been a very good life.
And you've, to be able to work with the talented people you have worked with, to meet all these different people, I mean, what a thrill. Did you ever get tired of meeting new people?
I never get tired of the work, and meeting the people is part of it.
Tell me about Mary Martin. Now, you talk about Mary Martin in the book. I mean, I'm fascinated by her, just by the way you describe her. Tell me what she was really like.
Well, she was not of this world. She needed to be taken care of, and she needed to be taken from here to there, and she needed to... be pampered. On stage, she was magnificent. But, you know, she would walk, sometimes take a walk and forget that in order to buy something you needed cash, which she never carried. She usually had her husband by her side who did that, and if he was out of town, she was at a loss. I remember one day I said to her, I'll be on the Tonight Show this evening. Oh, she said, oh, good, I can watch that. My husband's out of town. Because if he's in town, she has to go to bed and rest.
What a way to live your life. I mean, and we all know her as the mother of Larry Hagman, too, one of the ultimate villains of all time with J.R. in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget that. I mean, that she was his mother, you know, and it's amazing the amount of people related to other people in the show business world.
She made a very great remark once. They gave a party for Larry Hagman, and she was there, and the press was there. And they said to her, what does it feel like to be the mother of an icon? And she said, my dear, my son is a star. I am an icon.
Uh-huh. Good for her. Now, she was, of course, in Peter Pan. Did she do a lot of different Broadway plays?
Well, Peter Pan, she did a lot of musical plays, yes.
Yeah, I mean, when you have the talent, you have the talent. I mean, you must want to just do as many as you possibly can. I mean, were there any roles that you wanted to do on Broadway that you never got a chance to?
Not really.
That's amazing.
Some of the classics, sure. But the classics are not on Broadway very often.
What's been the most challenging Broadway play for you?
Zorba, I think.
Zorba the Greek, yeah. What made that so much more challenging?
Well, because it's a far reach for me. As a man who is so free that whatever, he doesn't want to own anything because he figures that the things are going to end up owning him. And so whatever he carries in his knapsack is all that he wants. Mm. And even that is a little too much for him. And every minute is the best day that's ever been lived, and every drink of wine is the best wine that's ever been drunk, and every woman that he loves has ever been the best lovemaking in the world. Nobody is that free, and I envied him, and I tried to imagine what it is that makes somebody as free as that, and to be able to translate that into a performance. That was challenging.
What do you do today in your spare time and when you're not working? And what do you enjoy? I mean, I think you mentioned chess, right?
I write. I translate.
Mm-hmm.
I look at performances on film or television.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the theater, concerts. I do what an intellectual does.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been a big reader? Do you like to read a lot?
I do.
What kind of books would we catch you reading? If we saw you sitting somewhere, what would we catch you reading?
Well, I good fiction, for example. I just finished one book by Jodi Picoult.
Oh, I love her. Oh, wasn't
it? It's great, great. Lovely, lovely writer.
What an amazing, talented...
Yeah, there's another writer called Daryl Horn, which I also discovered recently.
Which one was that?
D-A-R-A, Horn, H-O-R-N.
Never heard of her. I'll have to look her up.
That's very good.
It's good that you're still reading. I like that.
Oh, yes. I like books. I like to turn the pages. But I also like to read them on my iPad because you can enlarge the font and you don't have to squint.
And you were even on Little House on the Prairie. How amazing was that? I mean, what was Michael Landon like? I've heard so many different stories about him.
He was a kind of a ruffian. I liked him a lot.
He seemed very professional. It seemed like he whenever, I mean, he got his actors to do, you know, good work. I mean, he was always, like, keeping everybody in line, making sure everybody was, you know, knew their lines.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
a taskmaster, you might say, about him. But how could you not like the guy?
I found him easygoing, actually.
I mean, that's the stories you hear. You never know what to believe because things tend to be exaggerated a lot. I did interview one of his actors on his show, and you know, she told me all about him. But you know,
from Little House.
Yeah, Little House, and the one who played Nellie on Little House, the bratty girl. Yeah. I interviewed her one time, and she was telling me all about Michael Landon, and you know. You were there to work, and he made sure everybody worked, is from what I've heard. But, you know, I mean, that was just, it was his show, what a screen presence he was. I mean, to watch him on TV, I mean, it's just amazing to watch him. Because it was always fun to watch him, you know,
One day he was talking to me, turns out that he was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reciting to me his bar mitzvah portion.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
So it sounds like he really respected you a lot.
Yeah.
And you were also on Columbo. I mean, my goodness, that was my mom's favorite show, Columbo. She couldn't... Yep. You did an episode of Columbo called Oliver Brandt. Oh, the Bye Bye Sky High IQ Murder Case. That's a mouthful of a title. Well, Peter Falk had to be a character. I mean, how could he not be a character? I mean, I don't know how you could hide that, you know, the way he was.
The thing was, I lived in Connecticut. I had a house in Connecticut. And my exterminator, because you don't have to have an exterminator that looks for bugs and stuff. My exterminator was Mr. Falk. Turns out he was Peter Falk's uncle.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. I mean, do you even realize sometimes how much joy you've brought people over the 90 years you've been on this earth? I mean, all the performances, all the things, all the joy you've brought other people.
I know that, and I'm very grateful for it.
But I mean, you've brought such a talent and such a body of work into our lives. I mean, we remember you from all these different performances, and there, I mean, I can't even think of a bad performance you've ever done. I mean, you just are so good at what you do.
Well, somebody once asked me, how come you do everything so well? And I said, the very simple answer is, what I don't do well, I don't do.
There you go. What an answer. That's great. But I'm looking at all this, and I mean, you did a movie with Clark Gable, or a movie with Clark Gable, right?
Yes.
Was that Mogambo?
No.
It wasn't Mogambo.
It was not. It was, Title Life Escapes Me. We shot it in Europe.
Right.
And he was a strange character. He was mostly talking about dollar appeals, of which he owned quite a few.
Ah. Bet you could write a whole book on all the stories you know about other people. I would think all the famous people you've met and your experiences with them.
But that would be a gossipy book, and I don't like gossip too much.
You seem like a very respectful person. Like you respect others very well. And I mean, it comes across reading the book. You know,
I'd like to think so. Yes.
Now you did Playhouse 90. Playhouse 90 was done live, was it not? In 1958.
Which?
Playhouse 90, was that a live series?
Live, yes.
I know that they did a lot of those live, and you know, when you look at some of the things they did live on TV, I mean, today they don't like to do a lot of live TV today, but because of there's so many things that can go wrong.
People would be horrified to do a live.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to know. Did you ever have trouble memorizing lines?
No.
Why is that? Is it just something that you're born with?
Knowing your lines is just like the bricks. From bricks bricks alone, you don't build a house, but you have to have the bricks.
Well, you seem, you're just so good at I mean, you always seem like you're so good at lines. I mean, just from reading the book, I can tell. I mean, you remark when other people don't remember lines, and I just assume that you do remember all of them. But how, I mean, when you're up on that stage, and you've never had a moment where you've suddenly forgotten a line?
It may have happened once or twice, but because, you know, you'll get distracted. Somebody in the house yells, coughs, loudly, can throw you off. Something happened backstage that throws you off. For example, in the middle of one of my performances of Fiddler, somebody was tactless enough to let me know that Robert Kennedy was killed.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how I finished that performance.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well, that's quite a shock. I mean, you hear things like that, and right in the middle of something, you're right in the middle of work. I mean, it's like you're just so taken aback. I mean, how do you recover from that?
Yeah.
Now you were on an Alfred Hitchcock Presents called The Hands of Mr. Ottermole. Did you ever get to meet Alfred Hitchcock?
Oh.
Alfred Hitchcock. Did you ever get to meet him?
Oh yes.
What was he like?
He was exactly what you expected him to be, larger than life. he was able to eat more than one meal at the same time.
That isn't surprising, really.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrific. I mean, it's just amazing. What an amazing man he must have been. I mean, to be able to, he just seemed like, you see him on TV, you see him in the old episodes, and the way he could crack a joke and make the sponsor look like, you know, it's amazing what he got away with, you know. And
yeah.
Psycho is a classic. Nobody will ever forget Psycho. I mean, to make a movie that people are going to remember forever and ever, you know, what does it do to you to realize that your performances are going to be seen even after you're dead? I mean, what does that feel like to you?
Well, at the time when you're doing it, it's you're involved in it, you're enmeshed in it, it's a job. You don't think of it's afterlife. What happens when it is released? What happens when other people see your work?
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, you do the best that you can. And I watch films. I watch my own films as well. Some people don't. I hear that Catherine Hepburn never watched anything that she did.
Right.
I don't mind. I learn even from watching myself, saying to myself, maybe I should have done this somewhat differently. But there it is. It is what it is.
That's right. That's right. Now, doing live TV and doing theater live, is there any difference? Was one more difficult than the other?
Oh, TV is more difficult.
Why is TV so much more difficult?
Well, because you have to not only be good, but also fast.
Hmm.
The budget doesn't allow you to sort of stretch out the time. A movie, you can go on for weeks. You do 16, 20 takes of the same scene until everything is perfect.
Right.
I've never, in television, I've never known any more than two or three takes.
Yeah.
If that many. Sometimes the first take that's good has to be the first take, and that's it. And they play it, and they go on to the next scene.
Now, do you remember?
Right. You have to do it in a week.
And you look at soap opera actors who do that day after day after day. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, they can stop the tape on those shows, but you know, they still.
I once did a guest shot on on a soap opera, and I was on for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
On As the World Turns, the World Out.
Oh, really?
And get up at 4:30 in the morning, they drive you to the studio, you go through the lines and they make up, you throw you on the set, you do it, they hand you the pages for the next day's shoot, and the next day's live performance. It is, that's tough, very tough. I never understood people who could do that grind, and it is a grind.
Right. It does seem that way. I mean, people don't realize how, when they see a show, what really goes into that show a lot of times. You know, you think, well, these people have done it, they know what they're doing. And yeah, they know what they're doing, but they're always doing fresh stuff. They're always doing something new. It's not like you've memorized the lines before. You've got to know your lines on every show.
Oh, yeah.
Or the whole show could be brought down. I mean, to have one bad actor on a show can make the show look really bad. You know?
It's like almost like an acting exercise.
Yeah. It's a continual process. I mean, you have to know that you have to be on your toes all the time. There's no slacking on TV. You got to know what you're doing, or you bring the production down, or they spend more money because you don't know what you're doing. You know, that's very tough.
Yeah.
Now you worked on the Twilight Zone for one episode with Rod Serling. What was Rod Serling like? He always seemed to me like
a wonderful man.
I mean, what a talent! What a
I love him.
It's a shame we didn't see more writing from him, that he died so young, because what he wrote was extraordinary. I mean, today you still see Twilight Zone marathons. The show is bigger than it's ever been. And you were on, the year you were on, that was the year I was born, amazingly enough. And we were born one day apart. You were born on May 2nd, I was born on May 3rd, so, which I find extraordinary too. So we have May in common, you and I. But you did a lot of those TV appearances. Was it good to just do it? I don't know how long it took you. How long would it take you to do a Twilight Zone episode? Was it like a week? You did it for like a week, or how long would it take to film the whole thing?
A week.
Just like a week?
Yeah.
Must have been a wonderful week.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be able to go from show to show to show had to be an interesting experience. Always coming in contact with new people and new situations and new egos or whatever it was that you came across, you know? You never knew what you were going to get into. I love your story about... I'm sorry?
Somebody gave me an interesting gift the other day. They gave me a book of 90 pages. And each page is a front page of the New York Times on May 2nd in successive years, starting with the year of my birth.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
So you get to see what happened on your birthday every year. That's neat.
Every year, yeah.
Now, I love your stories about Robert Mitchum. I'm laughing just reading the stories, because he must have been a very interesting man.
He was.
What was it about?
A very intellectual man, very bright, not very pleasant when he got drunk.
Right.
But sober, he was wonderful.
And there's another soap opera you did, Another World. You were on Another World for 1982 and 1983.
Right.
And then My Fair Lady, you were in My Fair Lady. Oh, my God. I mean, is there anything you haven't done?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is there a role that you can think of right now that you would like to do that you haven't done yet?
King Lear.
Have you ever tried to get a King Lear somewhere?
I did it in workshops from time to time. There's bits and pieces of it, never the whole play.
But never on Broadway?
No.
Have you won any awards?
Yes, I was nominated for an Oscar. I got twice for an Emmy, and I got an Emmy, and I was nominated for a Tony twice.
Wow, fantastic. Just fantastic. I mean, your body of work speaks for itself. I mean, I think there's like 156 different appearances in your, on IMDb. I'm looking on IMDb. 153, I think it is. 153. The last one being The Little Traitor. What was The Little Traitor? That's the last film. It shows you. Was that a film?
That's a film that was shot in Israel, yes. Made by a friend of mine, Lynn Roth, director, writer. And she was with Alfred Molina.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
And local actors. And I happened to be in Israel, and she said, would you like to be in the film? Because I want you to do this role. And I said, sure, why not?
Did you ever say no to any acting jobs?
Yes, if there was a conflict, I did. Yeah, I said no to one Broadway play because I had an offer to go out on tour with Fiddler, and I preferred that.
Right. Oh, of course.
You just simply can't do two things at the same time.
Well, you're allowed to love whatever you love. I mean, that's who you are. I mean, you like what you like, and everybody has their different likes. You know, different performances. I mean, I think of Anthony Hopkins and all the wonderful things he's done, and what a terrific talent he is. I mean, it's a shame we don't have a lot of young actors who are like that nowadays. I can't think of any really great young actors today. I mean, there are some good ones, but great ones? I don't know. Do you think there's any great young actors today?
I don't know. I don't watch that many young actors.
Yeah. I mean, everything's about, I mean, movies today are, you know, superhero movies or really violent action films, and I don't find those stimulating a lot of times. I find it very repetitive.
I don't watch those either.
I mean, what are the movies that really, that you usually go to, and what kind of movie do you like?
Well, you know, I'm a member of the Academy, so I'm going to the Academy Motion Picture screenings, and sometimes I walk out in the middle because the movies are not interesting.
Right.
And last weekend I saw two movies and neither of them I found pleasing, so...
So do you get to watch the ones that are nominated for Best Picture when they come out?
I get every picture even before they're nominated.
Wow. That's wonderful. But you see, to me, I mean, I watch a fair amount of movies, and I love to see a good acting role, a good acting movie that's well acted, and you don't see that an awful lot nowadays. You see it more on TV now, it seems like, than you do in movies.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
I mean, there's so much in TV. Do you get offered TV roles today?
Rarely.
Yeah. But, you know, it's such a, you never know what's coming next. I mean, what was out tomorrow is in today, you know. You just never know. I mean, who would have thought at 92 years old Betty White would still have a sitcom on the air, you know? Nobody ever saw that coming. And yet she's still funny today. She's still funny.
Okay. That gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah, it does, and it's a wonderful thing. And the range of characters on TV, I mean, you think of The Walking Dead, you think of Mad Men, you think of all these shows that have such great acting on them. I mean, they're just some wonderful actors on these shows, you know. And so we still have a lot of hope for good acting. And then you've got, I think there's a Peter Pan live coming up on TV, isn't there?
I don't know.
In December, I think they're doing a live version of Peter Pan. I think Christopher Walken's going to do Captain Hook. I believe he's going to be Captain Hook.
Okay.
But that's going to be live on TV. That's like they did with The Sound of Music last year with, I can't remember who it was that played the role in Sound. Did you ever meet Julie Andrews, by the way?
Who?
Julie Andrews. Have you ever met her?
Oh, yes, I have. Sure.
What was she like? She
socially. Obviously socially, not working situation.
Right. She'd always seemed like such a wonderful person. I mean, watch her in The Sound of Music. I mean, do you think she did a great job in The Sound of Music, the movie?
She did, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, just her expressions alone, you know, the way she could sing and then show these different expressions, and, you know, and it was just amazing. You talk about in the book about Christopher Plummer about not really enjoying the role in The Sound of Music, and I hadn't realized that before.
No secret. He made no secret of it.
Yeah. But yet you see him when they have reunions, a lot of times he's there. I mean, so he's so proud of it, I'm sure. I mean, look what it did to his career, like you mentioned in the book. It really boosted his career.
Yes.
But he still...
I did vote for best actor in the film where he played an elderly man who comes out of the closet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I forget the name of that film. I saw that.
I voted for him.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful guy. I mean, you just know that. I mean, there's another stage-trained actor who's just so good. You also mentioned John Forsythe in the book. John Forsythe from Dynasty. And what an interesting man he was.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you saw him on TV, you just thought of class. He just seems like such a classy guy. Was he like that in real life, too?
Very much so, yes.
It's just amazing. I want to tell you how much of a pleasure this has been for me. I really have enjoyed it. And the book, again, is called Theo, an Autobiography. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.